and welcome to podcast number 3 of the Multimedia Men. I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Gotti Elkon, Andrew Conway, and Adam Conway. We have an excellent show for you this evening because we're doing a nighttime podcast tonight. We are in our Snuggies, all cuddled up by the fire in this 120-degree weather in Dallas, Texas. We're going to be talking about our top 3 film scores, movies that are coming out through the end of the year, this past week's news stories, and music, new music albums and tours coming up, as well as debuting our director's bracket for y'all.
Woo!
It's going to be awesome. Do you want to explain the bane that you just came up with?
No, we don't. Later. We'll bring it up later.
That's for a different...
Just know that bane will be...
Bane is going to be a topic of discussion at some point in the future. It's going to be great. But we're going to start with our top 3 film scores of all time with Mr. Gotti Elkon and the Star Trek Snuggie.
It says Enterprise all the way down to you know where.
And then it says you are the best.
It says beam me up.
So I went with just films I love rather than
film score. Yeah,
exactly.
Films you love. Okay.
I went kind of weird. Usual Suspects is one of my favorite movies, and I love the score. John Ottman did it, and it's pretty quality. He's a bit underrated. He's not John Williams or
any not one of the best Johns in the business.
Exactly. So.
Any John will do.
True.
There's lots of Johns.
There are. Because John's all over
the place.
When
I think of that movie, though, I don't
know. Are we talking about escorts? What's going on? Oh, that's
different. I don't think of the score, but
I think that's one of the best scores. It's pretty quality. It's underrated. Watch it again. Especially the boat sequences. You'll be amazed at the beautiful score.
In what?
In Usual Suspects, which I just brought up.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Where are we?
What about the Walking Blues?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Blues.
The second favorite is... I could name a lot of his films, but the one that kind of stands out is a little bit more of his modern one, is Road to Perdition. Thomas Newman, who's done Shawshank, Wall-E. He's done a lot of the Pixar ones.
Is that Randy's brother?
I don't know if they're related. I just know he makes quality-ass music.
It's a good score.
I love Road to Perdition because it's the score that he. It seems like he goes through water themes because there's water throughout. So there's little. I don't know if it's water sounds or anything, but it just sounds.
That's
cool.
One of the only films Tom Hanks is a villain in.
That's right, and one of his best roles. Period.
Is he really a villain though?
He's
a loving father.
Now he's much more a villain in the comic book than he is in.
I don't know. Wasn't he a villain in Lady Killers?
No, he was just that movie in Hell and Lady Killers.
Did you even see that movie?
God. Yeah, I did. All right, what's your third favorite?
You
film
and
score?
The Wayans family, the only one. Final one is obviously by far one of the best ever, Hans Zimmer's Inception.
Boom!
I mean,
did that shake you in the theater when you watched?
Of course it did. He was amazing. It's easily one of the most recognizable points of the film. Like this. That stands out in the film is just that epic, what you just did.
For our readers who don't know the trivia behind some of the score, do you
want
to tell them about
it?
No, this is your thing. I want to know if you knew that.
No, I want to hear it from you.
I really don't know. How did they do that? You should tell me.
Tell them, guys.
They slowed down.
Tell us.
What a dick.
Slowed what down?
The drum. It was a big drum.
A really big drum.
I doubt it.
It wasn't. No, you go ahead. Tell a story.
Sounds like a whale, right?
No, it was...
wasn't a whale?
It's not a fucking whale.
In the
whale
film,
heat?
When they would play the music for you, 2 minutes to wake up was... Well, I can't remember what the song was called, but they slowed that down so much that big burst of sound, boom, was that song slowed down.
And they didn't intend it. That's the point of the story. It came about, weren't sure how they were going to open it, so that's why it's all...
Was it a kick? Is that what they called it? Or?
In the movie,
yeah,
it's called
the movie
a kick.
Yeah.
But that's where the sound came from. It was just It's actually that whale's nice vagina. Which, of course, in German
means... Tracy Jordan said,
well, that's a pretty...
In San Francisco.
Is it? Do you want to give, like, your runner-up?
Your 12 runners-up?
Well, there were a lot of, like, classic ones, like E.T., Psycho, Godfather, that I thought
one?
Of. Yes, of course, one.
All right.
Are you kidding me?
All right.
I mean, there's... And then anything John Williams, I mean, like Star Wars, obviously,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I figured I would go away
those
from
are your
that.
Other
yeah.
And things people might not know.
Yeah. All right, Andrew, how about yours?
That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, well, sort of on the same lines as Gotti, I didn't go with a newer Hans Zimmer classic, but I went with a later one, or earlier one, Gladiator.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, nice.
It's one of the most recognizable soundtracks, in my opinion, where you actually, the girl who was in that girl's name was Lisa Gerrard, who did like the vocals on top of his score, just... Definitely brought you in and made you feel what Russell Crowe was going through.
And that was one of the first ones he used, like, a singer throughout.
Yeah.
That was the big deal.
It immersed you more.
It
brought
it
up
sounds
more
incredible.
Of the suspense
yeah,
and
using
the emotions.
Her voice as an instrument, not
yeah.
actually for her vocals, which is... It's
quality choice.
Quality.
Get that.
Quality.
That's a good one.
That's very good.
And then, of course, a big fan of... Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh,
so good.
Yeah. Were we mentioning
that
recently?
Yeah, yes, I think it was last time.
We were.
And, that's Javier Navarrete, who's done several things with Guillermo del Toro. And it's just something that stayed with you, and I believe Pan's Labyrinth.
It really was like a haunting fairy tale score, just like the movie. I really love that.
It was so good.
Yeah.
You should insert...
Whoa! What?
Sound
what are we talking
here.
About now?
Insert
oh, okay.
sound clip here of insert something.
Awkward pause.
And then, of course, my third pick was one that stood out to me. It's not really a favorite movie of mine, but it's just the editing itself and just the soundtrack or the sound score, I guess, pulled me in. And that was Requiem for a Dream.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
After that score came out, they used that in everything. The second Lord of the Rings
trailer. Yeah,
there was a Three Musketeers trailer. Every trailer seemed to use that score. And I just,
but any time you hear that, you think back.
You go
to
back
because
that was the climax. That score was the climax. That particular part was the climax of the movie, where just everything all shit breaks loose. And lots of.
Gotti, I know you're too excited about the double dildo scene.
He's yes.
He has a big smile on his face, folks. He can't help
He's
it.
He's fist bumping himself.
Those aren't fists, buddy. Those,
Like it's like a reverse fist bumping.
Clint Mansell's actually done. Yeah,
yeah, he's done a lot.
Great stuff in Moon. He did a bunch of really good scores.
That is good, man. That's a good list.
You know, runner-ups. One of my favorites was, John Williams has done so many good things, but Jurassic Park, just the theme of them entering into the park itself is always memorable, especially from when I was a kid. I almost made my top, but I was trying to go too commercial, so I went with more of a unknown list.
You forgot the magic word.
That's awesome.
It's like your desk at work. All right, that's an excellent list. What about your brother, Adam? What are your top three favorite film scores?
I did kind of like songs more than full scores. One of my favorite is the theme from Starman, which is a John Carpenter film starring Jeff Bridges. And I guess John Carpenter actually didn't do it. It was actually a guy named Jack Nietzsche.
Yeah, I know Jack Nietzsche. He did some stuff for Tarantino.
And it's one of the best... Like, that song is just so awesome.
So is this one of Starman one of your favorite movies?
I don't know. I don't know if it...
Own up to it. It's quality. Yeah, you don't have to hate it. We're not going to make fun
of it. Yeah, I really
don't know.
What a shitty movie.
Best nude scene by Jeff
Karen
Bridges.
Karen Allen.
Absolutely.
Are we ranking Jeff Bridges?
About the Moonlight Walk?
Yes. And that was by far the best nude
Starman movie. Starman is awesome. That's a good choice.
It's
like
been a while since I've seen it. I need to go back and watch that for sure, but...
And then there's also another, for some reason, a lot of my movies are sci-fi. I did, Dragonheart to the Stars.
Oh, wow.
Which we just listened to. It did sound freaking epic.
Yeah.
It definitely is. It took a subpar... movie and definitely broadened the scope and actually made it something worth watching, for sure.
Yeah, and you had like Dennis Quaid and Sean Connery's voice as the dragon.
So awesome.
Tyler Draco.
Right there, it tells you. Any movie with Dennis Quaid, you know he's going to be a winner. He's definitely one of the greatest actors of our time.
Yes.
His movies, all quality.
And he did, you know, have Meg Ryan up until she got duck lips and went all ugly. So quality to him.
Quality movies.
Quality to him.
And then I also, I guess for my third one, I chose the song Asgio in D Minor from Sunshine by John Murphy.
Oh.
It's such a great, great movie.
Great movie by Danny Boyle. Yeah. It's definitely underrated for sure. One of his...
All his films have unique sounds and stuff. So
yeah, he does great.
That one though is
so eclectic with his choices,
and they use that song like in everything too.
Yeah,
like, all over the place. So
great cinematography. If you want to see what the sun would look like if you were right next to it, you should go watch this movie.
And then some of my runners up.
Because why would you do that?
Otherwise, don't watch it. That's what I'm saying.
For the runners up, I had. Danny Elfman's score from Edward Scissorhands.
His first one we were talking about,
Yeah, he's definitely...
That man has his own sound.
Yes.
He does.
No one is Danny Elfman.
Well, Simpsons and Futurama.
No matter what you hear.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
They're so good.
You hear it, you know it's Danny Elfman's score. Like, I listened to a movie, he actually played for me earlier, and I was like, Danny Elfman. I could tell, because he's got those...
the oboe. That's what it is.
Family Guy reference, too. Go.
And then also there was...
too much oboe.
Recognition for a newer movie that almost no one's seen since NC-17 was the score for Shame by Harry Escott.
Such a phenomenal
moving score.
NC-17, that means...
Got
you
it.
Guys.
I think you have something to say.
It's a very underrated film. It gets... The dong takes a lot out of it.
Yes.
That's sad.
That's what
I have noticed.
Said.
That's also what she said. Most of the women who went to see that film would have liked that.
I liked it.
There was a lot of male nudity in your choices. So.
There is a lot of male nudity in
your
choices.
More movies need male nudity. Huh. I like it.
Ow.
Yes. Bringing it back, folks. Male nudity.
Well, that's a great list.
So, Brian, what do you got for us?
All right. So, there's so many to choose from, but I'm going to go from three on up to one. My third favorite y'all have mentioned, that would be y'all's runners-up, I'm going to go with John Williams' E.T. Because it's just... E.T.'s flying theme in the middle part where Elliot goes off the cliff, and at the end it just... In the last 20 minutes of the movie, you're like an opera. There's hardly any words. And it's...
Watch Close Encounter.
Yeah.
And then watch E.T. and see what happens when someone watches their own film and learns what they did wrong in their score.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Because Close Encounters had those epic operatic type moments.
Yeah.
But it was never emotional. And then E.T. was like...
What do you mean it wasn't emotional?
It wasn't as like John Williams-esque as it was. E.T. came out.
At the end,
you can listen
to the early one, though.
E.T. score and still get tears in your eyes.
Yeah.
You can picture
like, from 77 to 82, you could tell John Williams went from good to fucking one of the best of all time.
I've always been good since E.T. told me to be.
Underrated blood.
So that's one. My number two is going to be an homage to John Carpenter. We're going to go with the Pork Chop Express from Big Trouble in Little China and Halloween.
Huh,
creepy.
2A and 2B.
Yes. Creepy scores from John Carpenter. And yes.
John Carpenter wrote all his own music?
He definitely did do this. He did compose it. If you see.
He's a very intelligent
guy. By Carpenter.
He rocks a pretty hard stash, too.
He does.
I don't think a lot of people actually knew that.
Yeah, no.
I didn't.
Yeah, he definitely did. He did write his own music. And
so,
you could definitely tell because it's creepy and it's. Very 70s, 80s like a lot of
ethereal?
Synth and piano.
Ethereal, that's a good word.
So you're saying he's like the 80s Robert Rodriguez?
Yes, indeed.
It sounds like I've heard this before. I didn't want to
say that, but I feel like I should have just,
No, it's, he's so good in those, like John Williams' jaw score.
When it comes to haunting scores, there's nothing like Halloween.
Like Halloween, that
it's my history.
It's Very scary. Oh, yeah, I wish it was John Carpenter that did that. And number one for me that inspires me still every time I listen to it to go out and, like, do something is Jerry Goldsmith's score from The Explorers.
Greatness.
I want to build a ship and go out in space every time I listen to it.
That had Ben Kidd's alien movies in the
80s. River Phoenix was in that, right?
That was like the first one, though.
Before he died.
Before he died. Yeah. Flight
of Navigator?
We should figure that out. Flight of Navigator first or Explorers first?
It's close. 85, 86.
Yeah, it's one of those. But yeah, in Explorers, it's a young River Phoenix, a young Ethan Hawke, and a young James Cromwell.
And who was the third kid, though, that no one...
Nobody, I don't know what he was in.
He's a stereotype.
But I know he's the one that named the spaceship Thunder Road after Bruce Springsteen.
Flight of the Navigator was actually 1986.
And?
In Explorers? 85?
I do think it's before. I'm going with before. Now that it's all quiet and we're wasting our time.
Well, 84 is actually in
84. 84,
right. 84. Oh, actually, yeah, yeah.
84. So Explorers was before. 84.
Yes.
Thanks for clarifying.
And some of them have it in 85, so it's still the fourth.
So who the hell's the third actor, though?
The third actor?
That guy, the goofy-looking one on the right next to River's beautiful glasses of love.
That would be Bradley Gregg? No, Stephen Jackson. Bobby Feight.
Bobby yes. Feight. Didn't even have a picture on IMDb. Obviously not that
He was in The Legend of Billie Jean.
I love that.
The
movie.
Tennis Billy Jean? No. Oh.
And the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh! Sweet. Filmed it in Texas.
So, and then my runners-up are The Shining, which is a quality-ass score, and Dave Gruson's The Goonies.
Not the original with Jack Nicholson.
Not The Exorcist?
No, not that one.
Not the TV, Stephen Weber one.
Yeah, the original Kubrick's
okay.
version.
You wake me!
And then Dave Gruson's Goonies, because who doesn't like bullet holes the size of matzo balls?
Yes.
I want a t-shirt that says that.
Definitely.
I'll get you one. I'll have my friend Kimbrell make you one. So we'll do that. So yeah, those are the film scores. If you want to comment on any of our sites, please let us know your top three film scores, please. And here we are, Multimedia Men. Podcast number three.
Salty.
We are going to do some news stories that came out this week, and as we were talking about our top three film scores, some big, big, cool news came out this past week for the new Star Wars movies that J.J. Abrams is in, or he's directing. And Disney's versions of Star Wars, which they're not going to be animated. It's going
to
be awesome.
Live
I think.
Action is well, what he's trying
yes.
to do.
So, we found out who's going to score these amazing epic films, we hope, and who is going to score these?
Howie Mandel.
Yes! He's going to have a rubber glove on his head, and he's going to go that.
No, John Williams.
Yes! John Williams.
John Williams.
John Williams is coming back to do Star Wars.
Which is a big feat, right?
He's taking his
baton. He's damn near 90, and he's signed on for all three films, so...
Yeah, he's 90. Done all six Star Wars films.
What's he, like 87 next year, this year, something?
He's up there. So he's done all... Yeah, he's...
A Tales all this time.
I'm curious if he'll do all three, like...
Back to back.
If they're going to let him do that because of his age.
Well, doesn't he have to see the movies in order to score?
Does he? He's John Williams. Yeah. I'm sure he can fake it. Come on.
I feel
on.
Like he can do like a master score, and then he'll do like different little beats for different, like, oh, this is, you have an angry mood? Okay, here's an angry mood. You have a sad mood? Here's a sad mood. So he could definitely...
This will be the shitty part of the film that no one actually really likes, but it will sound cool.
He can set it up. He can set it up for sure, just in case.
Do you think he's going to use the same music, or do you think he'll just have like a couple new...
I kind of...
There's going to be lots of trumpets, you can tell.
Well, I mean, like,
but he might reinvent that opening.
So it's going to be weird if there's not going to be like a dun, 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 dun.
What
if
he does do it a little bit different with, like, instead of a dun, 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 it's like
a ding, can we all agree?
But is the Empire there? Where's the Empire, though?
That's
that was an Empire song. Is the Empire going to be the new movie?
But
one
thing is, we all agree that the main fanfare at the beginning with the credit card?
Yes,
that's
the
same.
Cornets galore.
Maybe re-record it, a nice crisp sound.
It would
on
sound
the new,
weird.
The new Ultra Atmos, whatever.
Oh, Dolby Atmos.
It's going to be synthesizer music.
I want to hear every cello and every oboe around me. But
oboe? Is it Danny Elfman doing this shit? What's going on?
I just hope J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams gets the Ewok song Yub Nub in there.
No,
You can only
with no Jar Jar.
You can
the
get
Ballad of Jar Jar Binks.
You can only get the Yub Nub song on the vinyl. It was never released on CD or MP3.
But the trivia you do not give a shit about.
I do. I love that song. I'm the only one that loves
Maybe
Yub
Nub. Maybe an Ewok made for TV movie that was on Yub Nub too.
So that's actually really awesome. I'm glad he's doing I'm glad he's doing that. So
it brings legitimacy to the films. Let's be honest. If it didn't,
Brian's
have
entry song will be Dub Dub.
So do you think
Kurt
Russell will be in it since it's JJ?
That's a tie in to because she's coming to Dallas. You're an asshole.
But that's true. That's the new story of John Williams. We have another one that came out tonight, actually. Big news for you Doctor Who fans. We have a new doctor. It's like the Pope. There was smoke out of the chimneys, and it was crazy. We got a new doctor.
It's an older doctor.
For Doctor Who. And who is it?
His name is Peter Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi.
He was in Armando Iannucci's Think of It.
On first?
It's who?
What's on second?
You.
What? You.
Doctor.
Three?
Huh?
What's
his name again?
Peter Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi.
And
if
you don't recognize that name, if you saw the recent zombie movie, World War Z, he was in that movie.
Not Chompers. I thought it was Chompers at first.
The zombie that was going So yeah, he actually did play a doctor in World War Z. He was one of the doctors at the
WHO.
It was a foreign country where they crashed the plane.
I actually heard he was in a previous episode of Doctor Who.
It was one of my
thought it was a little weird that, you know, he was already in it.
Well, pretty much every British actor has been in Doctor Who, though. So.
That's true.
He's Scottish, but yeah.
So do you think it's difficult?
Should we figure out how many Scots compared to Brits there are? I mean, that would be kind of cool. Not just
Is this the 13th Doctor?
Yeah.
12th?
12th. So is this 12th Doctor?
12th Hour, 12th Doctor.
Yeah, it's 12.
Okay.
Well, I don't remember because they had that whole story
there's a 13th
with Ian Holm.
He's another Doctor, but you know what Doctor he'll be. So there is a possible another one after
that. Not Ian Holm.
How do you think he will... How do you think he'll compare to previous doctors like Tennant or...
He's older, first of all.
Is he the oldest one?
No, the oldest is What's-His-Face.
He's older compared to the...
Yeah, What's-His-Face. Dr. What's-His-Face.
Okay.
Smith.
Okay.
But there were some older doctors back in the 70s.
See, for someone like me who came in with Matt Smith, I haven't followed Doctor Who. I'm actually a little worried that they're going so old. So I don't know if they're going to lose their audience because Matt Smith has brought a whole new audience to Doctor
Who. What's there, like
huge
30 years? I mean, right?
What? 30 year anniversaries this year. Yeah.
It's more than that, I thought.
50? 50 years? It's
an annie.
It's 50th.
It's big.
50th.
It's
old. It's the 50th year anniversary. And yeah.
It's the 50th anniversary, yes.
So there you go.
Well, I'm excited. Do you know when the new season starts?
It's not starting until next year, actually. They're going to be doing the 50th anniversary special, and then the Christmas special, where they'll introduce Peter Capaldi.
Awesome.
And then the new season will start probably
So that will be the last
May.
Appearance of Matt Smith, our beloved 11th Doctor.
Well, I welcome the new Doctor, Peter Capaldi. I think
he'll just haven't seen, Think of It or In the Loop, he was great in both of those.
Yeah, In the Loop, yes. There you go. That's pretty cool. So there's some other really cool news and actually weird news that involves Billy Bob Thornton, who has a birthday today, shall we say.
Happy birthday, Billy!
Happy birthday, Bob! Awesome. You were very
good. Hope you had a steak.
He
likes Perini Ranch
in
Buffalo Gap, Texas.
Thank you, guys.
That's his favorite steakhouse.
Really?
Should
we go there? Well,
it's quality.
You might have read it on one of our sites, the network FX is developing a TV show off of Fargo from the Coen brothers, and Billy Bob Thornton has signed on to star in the new Fargo series. It's an interest. A lot of push for this show to get Billy Bob.
I'm guessing he's Macy's character, but I don't know.
Are you sure
it's that couple that they're covering?
No, what I read was that it's going to take... It's going to follow Francis McDormand's character in going
after.
Yeah, after the events of the
Fargo
movie.
So no Spears from Aaron.
That's
weird.
What's the Coen brothers?
Right.
Give them a little
No Steve
leeway.
Buscemi, unfortunately, unless he plays a ghost.
Well, are the Coen brothers involved in this?
I believe so.
As much as Spielberg is in, like,
yeah, executive producers,
shows,
or
you know what I mean? Like
that.
Their name's on it. Does that help?
But Billy Bob Thornton going to the TV realm is pretty big.
I've seen his trailer for G. Mansfield's Club.
But
that's a quality film. It was at Lone Star. A lot better than the trailer, by the way. Just
TV's
the
hot medium, though. Like, we got a lot of actors deciding to jump ship from
Do you think that's because they like the fast pace and that they have a job for longer?
Right.
Yeah,
so they,
for
they're
sure.
not going to move all over the place. You know, they have like more stability. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm looking forward to this.
That's the big thing. They get paid more.
Yeah.
They get some quality.
It's
called residuals.
Yeah. Phil Hoffman's doing it. He's got a new show on Showtime.
That one sounds exciting.
Billy Bob Thornton. He's what Coen Brothers movies was he in?
Simple Plan.
Man,
was that him?
Yeah,
it wasn't there.
Simple Plan is Sam Raimi.
That's right.
It's close, but yeah.
It's same type of film. Fuck y'all.
Was he in Intolerable Cruelty?
He's in Intolerable Cruelty.
Yes,
yeah.
He is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's worked with the Coens too, but that's pretty sweet.
Times. Yeah.
Another one that came out this week on a news story is Ellen DeGeneres will host the Oscars again. It's
totally on board. You know
Me
what?
Too.
She's completely replaced Oprah for TV, and I'm so glad about it.
I think she's. So
she's
like,
hilarious.
She's
fun.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It can't go like any worse
than
fucking Franco. I mean, what the hell?
That girl can dance. I'm
but
sure.
Hugh Jackman would have been my
she's
going
to be dancing.
I would like to
there
see
will be, there will be some sort of dancing.
There will
be. Y'all remember Billy Crystal
there
dancing
will be,
in that song?
He's
going
to be dancing up and down the aisles.
I do.
Yeah.
The last time Billy Crystal hosted,
stylish
he was playing out people who laughed
stylish
at jokes.
There will be stylish vests, dancing, and jokes. Appropriate.
I'm glad that it's Ellen. I think it's bold and it's a you know
like
instead of freaking young and stupid, it's someone who knows what the hell they're doing.
Do you think that Disney will do a Dory segment with her announcing something in the opening?
Very possibly.
If it's on ABC.
I'm for this. My first vote was Gilbert Gottfried to host because I love the guy.
Is he still alive?
You're the only one that voted on that.
I would
like Hugh Jackman to host again. But that
yeah,
would be,
that'll be good.
Hugh Jackman's underrated. He's a very good host.
Guy. He's awesome.
But I mean, they've hit some good ones and some bad ones. Seth was kind of in between.
Seth. Yeah, I mean,
I think Seth pissed
like
off the people there, but he was funny on TV.
Yeah,
and I think that causes a bit of an issue because the people there obviously are rich.
They're
Hollywood. Like yeah, they know. Yeah.
Wait, what are you getting at?
They didn't like Seth, so they told him to fuck off. That's what I meant.
That's pretty much what happened.
And then he made $500 million off Ted.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Boom.
But
we're
all for Ellen hosting. We can't wait to see what she does. Another one, the TCAs are happening right now, and they have the awards. Adam, you want to talk about that?
Breaking Bad.
Orphan Black, bitches.
Hold on, wait. Explain what the TCAs are for
that's
everybody.
The Television Critics Association.
It's Television Critics
it's
Association.
It's all the TV critics getting together and voting on what they felt was the best programming of the year. And this year, their best program of the year went to Breaking Bad.
Deservedly.
Awesome.
Deservedly, absolutely. Which starts next week.
And the year's not even over yet. That's so weird.
We also got best drama is Game of Thrones.
Woo!
Deservedly.
Best comedy was a tie between Big Bang Theory and Parks and Rec, which I'm super
definitely
excited.
Not
a
Big Bang, but I like Parks and Rec.
Then for best actor in a comedy, Louis C.K. got it for Louis.
Nice, he's nice. That show.
He owns the
web
right now.
It's
totally worth it.
Best actress in a drama, thankfully Tatiana Maslany's got it for.
Finally, someone has a brain.
Yeah.
Jeez. The critics.
Best new show they deemed The Americans, which I still want to.
Speaking of Carrie Russell, what the f?
Yeah. Oh, she's all over the radar right now.
Wow.
She's making a comeback.
Americans was pretty.
Don't call it a comeback.
Best reality show, Shark Tank.
Shark
you know
Tank
right
now.
A really cool show.
Great
it,
idea.
If pirates were in at one point, now sharks are in.
Yes.
We all agree with that.
There's no sharks.
Very fucking
good. No sharks.
It is Shark Week, by the way, starting tonight.
Tonight,
Dick.
Tonight is the beginning of Shark
Week. So how about that for your...
Sure, I know that the Megalodon lives.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. So that's TCA. Anything else from TCA?
I think that there might be a couple more of them.
Those were the heavy hitters.
Those were
the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
All right. So another bit of news. So we do know for sure that Christian Bale is not going to be Batman in the upcoming Man of Steel sequel, which we talked about on our first podcast. Zack Snyder is making Superman 2, Man of Steel 2, and Batman's going to be in it. But now, since Christian Bale is hanging up his cape, the hunt is on for a Batman, and the studio has some picks of their own, but we're going to see, like, who would be best.
Let's X off some of those names they released.
So, they said Ryan Gosling, right?
Vomit.
That's not crazy. Vomit. He's not a Batman.
Well, they want an older Batman, though, too.
Yeah, because the Dark Knight Returns, which like it's maybe loosely based on, it's a very old Batman.
Very old Batman.
Batman needs to wear socks, unfortunately. He's got a lot. He's got rubber or whatever he's wearing. He needs something that.
And he doesn't have tattoos on his fucking face either.
Gosling,
yeah,
they're good both.
If God, ladies pick Gosling. Batman, and then they should not make a film.
Warner Brothers loves Gosling.
Unless
yeah, but you can't be Gosling. Gosling,
go for Gosling.
Unless he hulks up. Like
who?
Gosling.
Oh.
But like I've seen some of the
like Matthew Good is skinnier than Gosling, but he would be a much better choice.
And who's Matthew Good?
Who's this Matthew Good you speak?
Matthew Good was already in a Zack Snyder film. He played Osmantius in The Watchmen.
Yeah,
and he's a great underrated actor who
so
a couple of good movies.
He has the aura of like fancy, but also serious.
But also in Watchmen, he did prove Osman, that character guy, he was actually a pretty good fighter in Watchmen. Like
yes,
he is fancy. Actually sweet.
He's fancy serious.
Well, Warner Brothers also is pretty high on.
They said that about
Josh
you too,
Brolin. Right?
I am all for Josh Brolin.
He's been
Batman.
In Gangster Squad. He's also going to be coming up in
all
Quasimodo, which is another.
Which we can go back to our top film scores. Goonies. He was great in Goonies.
Yes, he was.
But Josh Brolin, he's that face.
He was Jonah Hex, unfortunately, so he's already done superhero roles.
But he's the right age,
he's a
at presence, least.
Because
even if he goes
and
a little
he's
gray,
too,
and he's
man.
Yeah, he was actually one of the best things about Men in Black 3.
Yeah.
So
he
definitely can play that.
I can do. I can. I can
now.
Roll,
sure. If we've got him, let's say Brolin gets it, because Brolin's big enough where he easily could be the choice.
Yeah.
Who do you pick as Superman?
And
it's
already have Superman.
Cavill's awesome.
Can they get rid of him?
But
or redo it?
It's all Batman, though.
Damn it.
We'll get to
hopefully they
get
a Lois Lane.
They'll make you love him eventually.
Will they?
By course. Because
I don't love him right now.
So who else besides Brolin and Gosling?
We also have True Blood star Joe Mantegna, who's one of the choices.
Is that Alcide?
Yes, that's Alcide. He plays the werewolf Alcide on the show, and he's
But that's just because he's big as
shit. He has a presence. Yeah,
he has a presence.
He does have a presence.
But most women will know him from Magic Mike. He was.
True Blood too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Naked in that.
I guess women watch that show too.
He's also on the Ice
and you too.
Someone has to watch it for the show.
So who else?
Whatever.
Bruce Campbell for Batman? Anybody?
No. You know what? It would be genius, but no one would ever do it. No
one
would ever do it.
We talked about earlier, Dennis Quaid.
Oh.
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Slowpoke.
Quality.
That
you know what? Dennis Quaid's big enough now. I mean, he's not a small guy either.
No.
He's
old. Yeah. He's the age they want.
He's on that TV show.
I can't see him on that.
If they were doing a bit younger, I would say Logan Marshall Green from Prometheus. I really liked. He has the look.
You gotta clarify.
So unknown name, though. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if he'd be on their radar yet.
We'll see if they're going to go for
what about a Skarsgård? There's about 85 of them. Do you think we can fit one of them fuckers in there?
Alex
big enough. They're all big.
Alex is way too tall, though. It's kind of hard to customize a bat suit for someone that's almost.
Do you need a short Batman? That's a great question.
I want a tall Batman. I don't want a short Batman.
What Batman has been tall? I mean, Clooney, I think, is the tallest.
Yeah, they've all been short.
And
well,
Clooney had nipples, though. Right?
Won't bring him back.
Why not? An older Clooney? Quality.
No.
I mean, he wouldn't do it because he's not an idiot, but you know what I mean.
Batman would scarred him for
Matt
life.
Damon they want, but, you know.
Why would Matt Damon choose a shitty
one? What about Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck hasn't done a lot. I mean, he's directing.
He's got
a acting wise.
He's got a Batman chin. He's got a Batman chin.
He does have a big ass chin.
Who?
Ben Affleck.
He's got a Batman.
Not as like Bruce Campbell or Josh Brolin.
Well, Bruce's is inhuman. That's like a rock got lost in there. I don't know what to do.
What about Joaquin Phoenix?
Want Joaquin Phoenix with that type of budget?
He's crazy.
I might as well say, why not Ben Stiller then, if you're going to say Joaquin Phoenix?
It's pretty much so different.
Ben Stiller's
so
not a crazy
so the same.
Dope head. Well, he might be. No, he's not. Jerry Stiller's his father.
Have
no,
you seen Perfect Midnight?
I don't know. Anybody else? Anybody else that you can think of for Batman?
Yeah. How about Tyrion Lannister? How about him?
Let's see.
I would love to see
Robb Stark.
Robb Stark. Well, he would be great. Would love that.
He would be a great.
Ladies
and some men.
Yes, thank you.
I thought you were thinking about Jamie Lannister.
No. I want Peter Dinklage as Batman. I think it would be awesome.
Jamie Lannister would be a good choice.
And you could get rid of Henry and give Warwick Davis as Batman and Peter Dinklage as Superman. Sold. Best movie of the year.
Maybe in the Lego version, but not in the Lego.
That's so disrespectful.
Well, right. Gilbert Gottfried as a Joker.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I would watch it.
Affleck duck comes through.
Do you have another news story?
No, I just put Ryan Gosling, and I was going to put sucks. That's the only news.
Ryan Gosling sucks. Well, that's it for our news story section of the week. We'll be back next week with more. Hello, and this is Multimedia Men.
Are we not robots now, y'all?
We just like that sound. This is our podcast number 3.
It's a Bombshot Quartet.
Yeah, monorail. So this is our section we're going to hopefully do in the coming months or something like that. Have this as like a regular section. It's going to be called On Our Radar, which we'll talk about upcoming future films that are coming out for the rest of the year. And which ones you should keep your eyes and radar on.
Eyes, ears, and mind.
Yes.
Ooh, especially the mind.
And crotch. There's a lot of passion in there.
Especially if you're Don Dutt.
Lots of male nudity?
True. Check. So here's just some films that we think you should keep an eye on, find trailers for on our sites, look at them, and get all excited about. Which one, Gotti, which one do you looking forward to most?
Well, The Health 2, a.k.a. The Butler.
Yeah.
Very excited about this.
It's not The Butler.
It comes out.
You can't say The Butler.
Oh, I'm sorry. We got
Tyler Perry's The Butler?
No. That's fucked up.
But he does play.
He does play a character. But, yeah, that's a con.
He plays a maid.
Give us the title.
He plays a maid.
He does play a mean woman.
Shocking. It's Lee Daniels, The Butler.
The Butler, which comes out August 16th in theaters, and we're going to see that this week.
That's right, and I mean, it's the Forest Whitaker show, let's be honest. Though, the cool element that I'm most excited about...
The President's
first film that's ever covered this amount of time and this amount of presidents.
And The Butler is about what?
Well, it's self-fucking explanatory.
Say, talk about it.
If Forest Whitaker plays the Butler for the presidents...
It's a Butler.
Okay. But it's also the story of his family and mainly his son in the 70s growing up and the battle between whether him being a butler is still slavery-esque or not.
So it's sort of like Forrest Gump, in a sense?
Very similar, but with Lee Daniels instead of Zemeck. I mean, yeah, it could be.
Is there a lot of controversy surrounding this movie?
Well, the title obviously has caused a lot because, you know, they got... issues, but that was behind the scenes money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty bold film, and I we'll know more when we see it.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't think Lee Daniels shies away. I mean, he decides to do movies that are really thought out, intelligent films that show sides of life we don't really know.
Yeah.
And he's certainly not a director who would shy away from anything, so.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Adam, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
In August as well, we have Kick-Ass 2 coming out.
Quality. We saw that, right?
Quality. I did, and I loved it. It's not by Matthew Vaughn this time, he just produces. It's a new director called Jeff Wadley.
Still have Aaron Johnson in it.
Yeah.
All right.
And he gained at least 30 pounds of muscle. He looks ridiculously pumped in this.
What's that cute little girl that
adorable? Chloe Moretz.
Oh, she's so adorable.
So is it more violent than the first one?
It is. Pretty violent, yes.
How Jim Carrey doing this?
Jim Carrey is great. He's almost unrecognizable. And he just fully portrays his character of Captain Stars and Stripes.
So Kick-Ass 2 people should look out for, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And I guess the director, they had so much faith in him that they actually gave him the new X-Force movie off of this movie.
Wow. All right, before it's released.
Wow.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Well, that's an industry pick. That's big time.
Wow. Yeah.
What about you, Andrew? Andrew, what are you looking forward to?
Well, also in August, something we've talked about before on the show, The World's End.
Well, I love the movie. I can't wait for all of you to see it.
Get drunk before, because you'll love it.
The book, yeah, the final installment, the Cornetto.
Cornetto.
It's the
ice cream.
Blood and Ice Cream is what they also refer to it as.
For us Americaners.
Yeah, directed by Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
It's easily one of the cool fight sequences. We see a lot of kick-ass
fighting. Lots of wrestling.
There's definitely an elbow drop there by Nick Frost.
Absolutely.
Coolest moment in the movie.
It's their most emotional of the three also. You know, also
I agree.
Between the two of them,
Peg and Nick Frost especially.
Dealing with like being a man-child, basically.
And for more
we're all kind of dealing with right now.
For more on World's End, you can check out Gotti and Brian actually got to interview the guys, so you'll get to see.
Well, not so much Gotti, but that's okay.
Oh. Sorry, not Gotti.
You can check Boomstick Comics out.
Boomstick Comics
my interview.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Three guys.
I'm going to ask some great questions.
Good
job.
Brian Adams.
Batman, by the way. Singing Batman, Brian Adams.
Yes, Robin
Canadian Bauer.
It is good. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. In September coming up, I am actually looking forward to. I want to see where they go with their new Riddick movie. Like,
it looks exactly the same as the first.
I didn't like.
No. It looks like the like.
I like Pitch Black and
yes.
I like Chronicles,
Black,
which was the best one in
yeah.
quality.
But it looks like it's a retread of Pitch Black.
So what? The other one sucked ass.
Yeah,
they got to go back to the original.
Is Carl Urban going to be it though? That's the question.
Is Carl Urban going to be
it? I don't think he is.
He's listening to the cast.
That's interesting.
But they haven't showed him on the trailer.
Interesting.
That comes out September 6th. What's another one in September that's coming out?
Well, Don Juan's got...
Don.
Thank you, fuckers.
I've seen it. It's awesome.
You saw it?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes. It's his directorial debut.
He's pretty
cool.
He also
too,
wrote
right?
it. He's did everything for it. So.
Wow. He does
Scarlet Naked?
No.
Is anyone else naked?
There's tons of nudity.
It's a lot about a porn.
There's lots of porn. Every interstitial in the movie is porn. So...
Is there like...
It almost got an NC-17 rating, but they got it... they took away some...
male
ass play, so they were able to get the R.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Can you tell us about Don John's, what his issue is?
He's a sex addict, so it was originally titled Don John's.
So this
addiction.
Podcast is NC-17 for you guys, just a...
Fuck yeah!
So he's trying to, you know...
Is that get, too loud?
You know, have a real relationship, and he...
Is it going to be good? Is it going to be like The Canyons? It's also coming out
no.
soon?
Or Linda Lovelace?
It already came out.
Lovelace Ooh. Was really good, so it does have... to compete with that type of film, which a lot
yeah.
of people
well, this is
talk bad about.
More of a comedy, though, and his dad's played by Tony Danza, who does a great job.
Oh, great. So,
what a great
I
film.
Love Tony
great
Danza.
So was this a great first-time directing effort for...
Yeah.
He wrote it.
And you'll hate Scarlett Johansson once you watch this movie.
You'll hate her?
Yeah.
No. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
There's no way you can hate her.
Nope.
No way.
Well, unless you're Ryan Reynolds, didn't he marry her?
But those her accent.
Which one married her and divorced her?
Was,
she has a
yes.
Jersey accent.
That was,
and it's not the best.
Well, did he trade up? Like my
possibly?
Maybe
possibly.
Maybe.
Possibly. I don't know. I would prefer Scarlett Johansson.
So sweet. Yeah. Well, in October, what do we got? In October, I'm really looking forward to the sequel to Machete,
which opens Fantastic Fest.
Yeah,
by the way,
film with Fantastic
and they're
Fest
bringing
Austin.
Everyone. Possibly even Charlie Sheen.
Living,
yeah.
Living in Austin.
Well, no, not Charlie Sheen. Actually.
Carlos Estevez, you mean?
He is being
he
known
by
Carlos
Estevez
now,
Estevez.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go by Charlie
So
Sheen.
Sorry, Charlie.
I really enjoyed the first one. I'm really looking forward to a second
I mean,
one.
We'll see.
We got to give love to Danny Trejo. He's such a, like,
a
normal
yeah.
dude. Who,
yeah, great story.
Yeah.
About how
normal dude?
Well, I mean, that was a bad word
choice.
But, like, minus his...
he's like 5'5", guys. He's like...
You definitely, he's
that
you definitely got a few interesting stories about
his
how
head,
his life turned
his
out.
Head is a foot
he's definitely
ball.
Been in jail a few times.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
For sure.
No, I did interview him at Texas Frightmares, so you can check
sure.
out my site.
But I'm interested
that.
To see Mel Gibson as the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it should be interesting.
Beaver.
Is Lindsay Lohan coming back as the priest again?
Not that I know of.
No, but Rose McGowan.
Alba's in it
again.
I could see her, because isn't she
when
married to
back again?
Rodriguez
yeah.
now?
She's married to Rodriguez.
Isn't
now.
The hot one, Alexa
Sophia
Vega, all girls
Sophia Vergara. Sophia.
Oh, Spy Kids fame.
Oh,
Sophia Vergara.
She does not look like Spy Kids anymore, that's for sure.
Oh,
I'm looking forward
thanks, Robert Rodriguez, for posting those pictures early, by the way. If you're Facebook friends, you have to see those. those.
Another movie coming out.
Voting.
Yeah, what
I'm excited about is Old Boy, who actually has one of our Batman Man of Steel.
Oh, cannot.
Three reference time.
I cannot wait for Old Boy, which I'm very bittersweet about Old Boy right now. So Spike Lee is remaking Old Boy, which is one of the best Korean films ever made, I think.
Easily.
And it's going to be...
It's got Josh Brolin.
It's a very interesting director choice. I can't see Spike Lee directing this.
And it's interesting how he interprets
it. It's a hardcore revenge story, and that's...
Is it going to be darker than the original?
I can't.
It's the only question that matters. Can Spike deliver that to an American audience?
I want my
audience?
One-shot scene on the hallway
still
with
use
the
a hammer.
Can you do that in, like...
In Do It Justice, it's going to be hard.
It's going to be extremely hard.
And, some reason, that comes out, like, Thanksgiving, like, weekend.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they pushed it back from October 25th to November 27th.
Yeah.
So that's not a good Thanksgiving movie.
It'll be a Thanksgiving movie.
It's a great family movie. Take your parents.
If you like cranberries meaning blood, then sure.
Yeah, that's going to be a
good one. Who knows? It might actually be
one.
A romantic comedy. It's a remake. We have no idea what it's going to be like.
So the movie comes out October 4th. That's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity.
Yeah.
I'm totally on board just because it's him, but I'm also scared shitless of what the hell this film is.
If it can be a movie that lasts for however long, 2 hours, about two people.
Well, his last movie,
Lost
one
in Space.
Thought was actually going to be, when you heard about what it was about, you're like, oh, really? That?
Mm. Well, what's the last movie?
It was...
Children of Men?
No.
Children of Men? No.
Children of Men was amazing.
That was, that was amazing. It was Babel?
Yeah, that was Alfonso Arida or whatever.
Yeah.
The guy who, him and Arriaga. You just naming Mexicans now. What's wrong with you?
Okay, his last movie was, technically it was Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
My thoughts exactly.
Yeah, that was...
This is the third
Harry Potter was
really
good. Alfonso
Cuarón?
Yeah.
I didn't hear how you... Yeah,
that was
how I pronounced Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear the Cuarón.
Gravity looks awesome. It's Sandra Bullock and George Clooney supposedly are working on a space station and something happens and they might be lost in space.
And if you haven't experienced one of Alfonso's films, you should definitely see it because...
They're powerful.
He is a bold filmmaker that does not listen to anyone else but his own genius.
Long take, man.
Yes.
I hope he has some of those long, awesome takes that we love.
If you watch the trailer, it's one long take.
Exactly. Children of Men, amazing. Several.
Children of Men, flawless.
Oh, yeah.
As far
as
I'm concerned.
There's two long takes.
Before we jump to November, I want to slip in one that wasn't on our list. It's one of Tom Hanks's three films he's got this year. And might be the best one. It's called Captain Phillips. It's based on... I don't think that necessarily his character is based. But it's based on we were talking about earlier, pirates.
Yes.
That are legitimately a factor in today's world.
Like Somalian
pirates? Not Jack Sparrow pirates.
No, legitimate gun-toting pirates that hijack big boats.
That's going to be interesting. Is he he's playing a Somalian
pirate? No, he's paying the captain, Dick. And it is a big deal. It's
for
Tom Hanks. It's his first movie this year, and the trailer looks really good. What are you giving me the eyes for? Does he have a fucking
film? Is it his first movie this year?
What movie was he in earlier?
I don't know.
Full of shit over there. But that comes out October 11th, so it'll battle with Machete. And I really think it'll be a good
movie. I mean,
movie.
Tom Hanks brings people out. Machete will bring back a certain crowd.
Definitely
Tom Hanks
a genre
will bring
film.
Out everybody.
Yeah.
Especially something that's... I mean, his last movie was, with Julia Roberts? The one where he went back to school?
Yeah.
That was awful.
Oh, that's
this
sad.
Movie looks actually like it has some...
It's a harrowing tale.
Yeah.
Be
you
want to
be Larry Crown?
Yeah.
Crown.
So, one movie that... I love the trailer of, I can't get enough of the trailer, is coming out November 15th. It's called The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
And it's directed by Martin Scorsese. And it stars Leonardo DiCaprio
and
Matthew McConaughey and Jonah Hill. And it's based on a book about a real guy.
And you can watch interviews with a real guy. It's ridiculous.
He owns a hedge fund?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do all sorts of fraudulent stuff, right?
And I'm glad you brought up this movie. There's a timely sense to hedge fund people being involved in films right now, especially George Clooney, who came out, I believe, in Vanity Fair and denounced Daniel Loebs, who is probably one of the bigger well-known hedge fund people who owns like 7% of Sony. And there is a big... Where money in film is and who has the power over film... is a big issue. This film doesn't deal with that. It deals with Wall Street, which is in its own self something that's arguable. But if it's Scorsese and DiCaprio, can it go? Can it be bad?
Yeah, they haven't done bad before.
Nope, not those two.
Is it sort of like going to be like the Boiler Room?
No.
It's more.
If you took the Boiler Room, made it bigger, and put it on Wall Street, then yes. But it is that same type of intensity. If you see the trailer, fast-paced. There's that other film that looks really shitty with Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake that's almost a similar. Yeah, if you take that and put quality into it, you have this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just denounced Justin Timberlake. Fuck.
Watch Ben Affleck. Watch the trailer for Wall Street. It looks amazing.
It's not the sequel to Wall Street.
And another one,
Thank God, because I already did that.
Another one coming out in November is the sequel to Thor Into Darkness, or was it
Dark World?
Thor Dark World.
Yeah,
Dark World.
Speaking of fucking up name titles.
Into Darkness.
Did Lee Daniels make this film?
Wasn't it Smurfs Into Darkness?
Lee Daniels. Yes.
No, Thor The Dark World. So...
does it matter until we actually get to, like, Thor 3? Because in the villain in this, it's the bunch of elves and shit. The dark elves, blah, gay, stupid.
Blah. I don't know. I'm just curious to see what the end credit scene is.
I'm just hoping Thanos is going to be in it.
No, but only as, like, he sends the... And he's not fighting Thor.
Who's the villain in the new Thor movie again?
Benicio? Like,
he's the collector.
Oh, whatever.
I don't know, but I know Loki's in it. Hopefully he's not
the... Loki's best part of Thor,
Loki's
by the way.
Loki's going to be teaming up with Thor as for the good side for most of the movies.
That's right.
You know, okay.
For most of the movie.
And we actually get Natalie Portman, who shows back up.
Yeah.
You actually have Doctor...
in Avengers for some reason.
You actually have a Doctor Who great Christopher Eccleston
that's
playing
right.
at
Charlie
Heist.
That
he's
was
an actual
yeah,
villain.
Yeah.
So he's the one over the
so
elves?
He's the
confused?
One overseeing...
He's the dark elf.
Oh, okay, so he's the main dark elf. So it's him and the keyboard.
It can't be that bad if he's actually in this. Right. You know, if you
bring
take part
your,
in this
film. Yeah. Idris Elba coming back as...
I do love Idris.
And also Ray Winstone is one of the three.
Sir Anthony?
Sir Anthony will definitely make
gotta be in there, right?
He's gonna pull
his own.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
And
Is anybody looking forward to Ender's Game?
We'll see.
We'll see.
There's so much controversy behind it.
There is a lot of controversy behind it, but
Yeah.
I don't know. Ender's Game is a great story. It's a good book. The trailers really don't
give it justice.
It's Harrison Ford in space again. It's Haley Steinfeld.
I kind of feel
going
like
from a western to space.
I already feel like Harrison Ford's gonna be phoning it in this movie.
Don't you get that from the trailer immediately?
I
know,
absolutely.
Like, that's a paycheck film.
Serious,
you're fucking seeing it.
That's called movie paranoia.
When you see Harrison Ford in space...
But are we the target audience? The target audience is like 8 years old or to 12.
Or 50-year-old men.
Or, yeah, people who really like Harrison Ford. I mean, it's not geared towards us. I mean, I think Hunger Games will have much more of an appeal to us.
It's based on a book that came out
like
the 70s.
But it's still about kids and bullshit and all that.
I feel, yeah.
One that nobody knows about mostly now is a movie called Las Vegas, which is supposed to be a take on, like, the Hangover movie, but with an older cast. Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Kline all go to Vegas and...
Didn't they already do those movies?
It's like Space Cowboys, but it's, you know,
better actors.
But in
minus
Vegas,
was
the crew?
Yeah, I'll
see you.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Let's hopefully. So that's November. So in December for holiday season, there's always great movies.
A thousand movies coming.
So what movies, Adam?
We have the Coen Brothers' new movie, which looks awesome, called Inside Llewyn Davis, starring Oscar Isaacs, who was in Drive. It's about the music scene in New York, like in the 80s, I think.
Looks like a very sad film, honestly.
Yeah. But it might be kind of like the Oh Brother Art Thou with that, like a music theme to the movie. There might be like a. Well, because it's. What time period does it take place
in? I think it's the 80s.
Okay.
Into the early 80s.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of cats in the trailer, and I'm confused by that. No, not in a in a picnic basket though.
It's New York.
There seems like there's going to be a lot of little Coen jokes in this one, and we haven't seen them be that way. Like True Grit didn't have that, for instance. Like
but
it
you
wasn't.
Want, did you want it to have
True
that?
True Grit was more of a.
Well,
you know,
True Grit's a remake.
Movie.
I don't think they gave
movie,
it. That's what I'm talking about though. You wouldn't put it in the lexicon of what they do. Whereas this one seems like it's going back to
it's a more ritual.
That.
The last few movies they've done have actually been, you know.
Exactly. So it could be if you're a fan of Coen Brothers, this could be the one you've been waiting for.
Yes.
For sure.
And this is loosely based on someone's real life.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we have Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which...
trailer looks awesome.
The trailer looks amazing.
Wow. Directed and acted. And yeah. I love Ben Stiller directed movies.
Oscar, like, nomination, at least.
Ben Stiller directed movies are
at least
awesome.
A People's Choice Award.
Ben Stiller directed Devil Guy. He directed Zoolander. And
Tropic Thunder. I feel like this is
you bring up the three rule, though. That's why Ben Affleck got nominated for Argo, right?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think he got nominated for Argo because it was a Hollywood movie.
But I mean,
it's a funny series.
Hollywood did something.
Ben Stiller's proven now that he, if this movie is as good as the trailer, he can do anything.
No,
and that's a big
trailer.
It looks amazing.
Hard, trailer's definitely
does
hard,
not look like anything he's ever done before.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah, he's got some serious acting. Not since what we said earlier, Permanent Midnight. We've seen him act this serious.
And I love Adam Black, but that's
and
only
funny.
Funny. Adam Scott. Spirit.
Adam Scott. Yeah,
Adam
he plays
the
big.
Yeah. In this, yeah. And Kristen Wiig.
He's definitely a star on the rise.
That's
I wish people could see your fucking figure.
He's waving it around everywhere. What about Dallas Buyers Club?
It's McConaughey looking.
It's an Oscar.
Oh yeah, easily.
Is this
so
one he lost all the way?
Yes.
There?
Yeah.
I still think
so. Women finally enjoying it as much as they enjoyed Mud.
Mud was great. This is the year of McConaughey, and if he doesn't get nominated,
Dallas Buyers
the Oscars
Club is
going to
make
retarded.
You depressed. But what you do is you watch Dallas Buyers Club and then go home, watch the Blu-ray of Mud, and you'll feel better about Matthew McConaughey.
Boom. All right.
Lock it up.
All right.
And you also, because you have, McConaughey lost like 40 pounds, and so did Jared Leto, who plays another guy with HIV.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous, his transformation. That
different
he
than gaining the 80 pounds he did last time.
What movie are you talking about?
Yeah, no, what movie are you talking
Magic
about?
Mike?
Go ahead.
Why
don't you give that? No?
He
played Mark something Chapman.
Yeah. Your judge is failed.
I just never
Lennon
watched
Lennon hater.
You can shut up now.
All right.
That's a joke. It took him a long time.
Okay.
And then we also have...
You recorded an album.
We have Anchorman 2.
Anchorman motherfucking 2.
The trailers are amazing.
The trailer is so
amazing. And it's... Anchorman came out so long ago when most of the stars in the movie weren't making...
Whale's vagina.
...very small amount of money and... To get all these guys back again, it would have cost $100 million just to get them back, but they all decided to take pay cuts, and now we're getting an Anchorman sequel.
Can it live up to the first one?
100 million percent.
I don't know.
It's set in the '80s now.
Could it? Could it
have you seen their wardrobe?
Have you seen? There's still
he fights a shark in it.
Where he's fighting a shark.
Yes.
In the water.
Part of me wants to be like, oh, kumbaya. Part of me is a little scared of the film. Just a little bit. I'm not saying I'm not going to go. I'm not going to love it. I'm just saying that first one was epic.
James Marsden's playing the villain.
This is going to be... It's going to be good.
I've heard there's
you're
going to
laugh
more
from start to finish.
Fight, so I'm excited.
You're going to laugh. You're going to have fun with Anchorman 2.
You're not going to like it. It'll be better than Man of Steel, baby. I'm just going to tell you.
I have an important announcement.
We all know you like it better than Man of Steel.
Well, there's a few also that we have. David O. Russell. American Hustle, which, if that doesn't garner him any more Oscar.
What's the movie called?
American Hustle. And it's got a cast from greatness. Pretty much everyone that's worked
with
him.
It's about the Abscam scandal, roughly, loosely based on the Abscam of the 70s?
Yeah. Late 70s.
Late 70s? Yeah. But Bradley Cooper has a permanent. Christian Bale has a comb over. So there's lots of hilarious
cast of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's David O. Russell.
Jennifer Lawrence is playing a prostitute. So
yay,
looks pretty good.
Win-win situation.
No Mark Wahlberg.
No. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Thank God. He's on a roll. You know, David Russell's last three films.
And then we haven't talked about. We brought him up, Clooney, but Clooney has another Oscar potential movie, The Monuments. And
the cast is ridiculous. So
who's in it?
Everyone.
John Goodman.
Name a few.
Matt Damon.
Burt Reynolds. Not in the film.
Gilbert Godfrey.
Not in the film.
I'm so happy we've mentioned Gilbert Godfrey at least three times.
For
in this
like
film.
A while.
Are you listening
we gotta be careful because we mentioned him too many times.
What is Monuments Men about?
He'll show up at our door.
It takes place during is it World War II or World War I? Where basically they go and retrieve
some war. Some war.
Hitler.
Some win.
Yeah.
The war was Hitler. Of course it's World War II. The war was Hitler.
Are Southern Baptist.
Some Jews. Fucking hit.
They're tasked to go retrieve the artwork that was stolen by
the Nazis.
The Nazis.
The Native Americans.
What'll be cool is it should take place. Hitler had that beautiful.
Playing World War II.
But it's showcased in Saving Private Ryan, the mansion that was on the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the artwork was found. I don't know if they'll
Mike
use
Myers,
that.
Where Mike Myers was?
Mike Myers?
Yes.
So that should, it should look cool to showcase that. And it's Clooney doing it, so
right.
Is he going to fail? Probably not.
No, I'm excited.
Mike Myers from Austin Powers? You know
what? What about the new Jack, what about the new Jack Ryan movie?
We'll oh, sorry, we have another one of those fuckers again? Really? Who's playing him?
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
Oh, great.
Kathy Kirk.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I don't know.
And Harrison Ford was in it all.
I thought Jack Ryan had to have dark hair. Can we get past that or something?
We can
die. Do you not like Ben Affleck in some of all fears?
No. No, I did not.
Did you like Clear and Present Danger?
Yeah. Well, Harrison Ford is Jack Ryan, or Alec Baldwin is Jack Ryan is fine.
I'm a Russian.
Chris Pine could be good. Chris Pine.
I'll give him. He is not a bad actor for sure.
I'm a Russian sub commander.
That wasn't Baldwin. That was Connery. You dick.
You're the bad guy, dog.
It's hard to tell Connery not to do his same damn fucking.
Punch the keys. This is my Russian.
Any other movies coming out?
Well, there is the Saving Mr. Banks. The story, sort of
how
is the real story of how Walt Disney
Oscar.
It's how
very much so. Very much so.
How
he plays
Walt
Disney.
Got the author of Mary Poppins to give him the rights to make the movie.
And plays Walt Disney.
Yes.
Yes.
Emma Thompson plays the author.
And Julia Roberts is not in it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Or is she?
Spoiler.
She plays the.
Is this
top
that
umbrella?
It's directed by John Lee Hancock, who has done some quality films. I mean, he did do
Blindside.
And he also
did you do the Alamo?
Okay, that wasn't really quality.
Quality?
Sorry, John. Really nice guy to interview, though.
He's a nice
awesome guy. Really cool guy. Texas ties, too.
Yeah.
So fuck y'all if y'all
there's no base
John Lee. He's got three names. Give him credit.
So that's our, is that our radar? Is that our radar?
Yeah.
Awesome. We might have some more later, but that is on our radar. Check all those films out. Hello, and this is the Multimedia Man podcast number 3.
Oh, wrong.
So, since our first podcast, we have been talking about our infamous directors NCAA bracket, where we're going to narrow down 64 directors to the best director of all time. Now, we've come up with these directors previously. And we would like you to play along with us on this. So we have our four regions. One region is going to be dead filmmakers that are, of course, deceased.
And we'll be putting these brackets online for
you. Yes, you can download the brackets and fill your own out at boomstickcomics.com or GottiElcon.com, courtesy of printyourbrackets.com.
Get on there and check them out and tell us your sleepers.
Yes, indeed.
And there's going to be some surprises and shockers on here. So
the four regions are dead filmmakers. We have the genre filmmakers, which consist of sci-fi, horror, comedy directors.
Fantasy directors.
Fantasy's in there.
We have our modern directors, which are alive today. And then our last region is foreign directors. And all of these 64 directors are going to be competing for the number one spot.
And we're not giving them shit.
Best director of all time. So
we made a button.
We did make a button.
We got
That's
a button.
True.
Well, yes.
We'll send a fruit basket.
Yes, we might have a prize
Dear
for you.
Dear Edgar Wright, not going to happen.
Blu-rays, DVDs, something like that. But for today, for this podcast, we're going to read these out to you so you can mark them down, write them down on your bracket that you print out. And then next week, we will do the tournament. We will start narrowing them down. So I'll start off. I'm going to do the dead region.
The old fuckers.
Deceased.
Cease to be.
So, in our dead region, it comes to no surprise as Stanley Kubrick is our number one.
The Shining!
It's going to be a difficult way to beat Kubrick.
Who
but
has the Shining?
Stanley Kubrick. We also have Akira Kurosawa.
Oh, yes.
He didn't make foreign because he's dead.
He's
not alive.
Ah.
Kurosawa.
Kurosawa.
And we have, and then we have John Ford.
He likes Western quality. That's, he's mean.
Excellent, excellent filmmaker. We have the great Alfred Hitchcock.
Uh oh,
it's going to be a hard one to beat too.
He's dead.
What? We have Billy Wilder.
Underrated.
Yeah.
Good director.
No relation to Gene Wilder.
Oh God, no. He's Austrian.
We have David Lean.
Pe-ish. Pe-ish.
He made lots of long movies.
Yes, he did.
They were quality fucking movies.
Yeah, I love them.
Dick.
We have Jean-Luc Godard, who, if anybody took a film class in college, you would know.
You at least know the name.
You know Jean-Luc Godard. We have Robert Altman, who recently passed away.
Yes, oh, wow. He might be the most recent deceased on the list. Oh, and
was his last movie Prairie Home Companion?
Gosford Park.
Gosford Park, which was so good.
Nashville. All right, our next one is
1977.
Ingmar Bergman is on the list.
He's Swedish.
Oh, good old Ingmar.
We have Robert.
And Very then we have a wild card here that could make it Jim Henson.
What? That's it? That's all the
dead ones? No, we'll keep going. Oh, Jim Henson. Jim Henson is in the dead list.
There was a lot of debate brothers. About Jim, but due to the fact that he is the king of Muppets and that he's quality.
Why should I be king of Muppets?
Jim Henson.
He is.
There's Orson Welles.
It's not going to be Elmo for sure anymore.
Orson Welles is on the list. The greatest, probably, Western director of all time, Sergio Leone.
John Ford might have something to say about that, Dick.
That's true. Yeah. What, they might... In the
cross paths. So
yes, very possible. We have Milos Forman.
Milos.
Oh, you know what? Probably the most recent dead one is John Hughes.
No. Alvin died after
And
Hughes.
Alvin died after Hughes.
Hughes died early.
John Hughes.
I actually didn't see this list, so I'm hearing this for the first
time. So, John Hughes is on the list.
Are you sure? I think he died pretty recently.
Alvin died like 2 years ago.
There's someone that died more recent. I don't know if he's on the list, though.
Yeah,
Hughes. I'm waiting to hear.
It's close.
John Hughes.
Someone that died more recent. That might not be on the list.
Sidney Lumet.
He died recently,
I
too.
I know you're talking. Yeah, he did. I know you're talking about, but he's on the list. Oh,
and then our last one for the dead category is John Cassavetes.
Wow.
Quality.
Who were you thinking of?
There were two people I feel like you missed.
Who?
Frederick Fellini.
We talked about
We talked about
Fellini so we could bring in Godard.
And Tony Scott.
We didn't.
Tony doesn't rank better than any of those guys. Yeah. No offense to Tony, he's great. He made Denzel who he is, but
he did take his own life.
That too. I don't know if he's. That's me.
I know that was one of the requirements.
But Tony was talked about for sure.
So that is our dead list. That is our dead region. We hope you got.
And it's
those.
Not like his brother's not on the list, Dick.
Gotti and I will post these names online for you if you did not get a chance to write these down. But I'm going to pass the list over to Adam Conway. He's going to do the genre list and let you read off those.
Yes, genre list.
Uh oh. Go.
Number one on the genre list is George Romero.
Oh, so
Zombies,
good.
Not Living so Dead, good. Dawn of the Dead.
It is a genre, zombies.
Yeah.
Then we have Terrence Fisher.
Which you don't like, but the rest of us know he thinks
bad. Name some of his movies.
Like they're all old.
Name them. Name one
of his movies.
Curse of Dracula.
There you go, old.
Blackula.
Not directed by Terrence. No.
Blackula.
Then we got... Mr. David Lynch.
David Lynch, that's good. That's
makes great coffee.
So awesome.
Yeah.
He does that quality.
Yeah.
Better review, so I didn't mention him.
Then we have Roger Corman.
That's a hard one.
B-movie king.
He's made 1,000 B-movies.
Yep.
If it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be a lot of directors out there.
He gave us Piranaconda and Sharktopus.
Then
we got John Carpenter.
Well, we've been talking about John a lot today.
Yeah,
Brian's favorite.
Difficult.
Not only can he make a good film, but he'll make the soundtrack.
Yeah, he'll make an excellent score.
That's badass.
And he loves Kurt
Russell. We got Brian's pick already to this.
He made Kurt Russell into who he is.
Yeah.
Escape from L.A. my ass.
And then we got Kevin Smith.
Smythe.
He's going to be so angry.
Yeah. Once you tweet about that, fatty. Oh.
Whoa!
Look at the pot.
That was awesome,
Mr. Kettle.
Kevin Smith deserves to be in there.
Oh, I didn't say he didn't. Okay. I was
what
being
what
shitty.
Would you consider a genre to be?
Independent
funny
comedy. Yeah.
Greatness. I don't know.
Then we got Mr. David Cronenberg.
I hope the two Davids.
That's
David
a
Lynch, David Cronenberg.
That should be battle one.
Yeah.
Who's the better David? Doesn't matter. Your mind has been fucked.
Then we have the Fairley Brothers.
Yeah, there's something about Mary, and you have...
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yep, there's some good ones there.
Never been a better sperm joke ever. Never been a better sperm joke.
And the best, the Kingpin.
And my parrot,
Petey. Oh, God, Kingpin is so good.
Who? My parrot, Petey.
God, we should watch that again.
Then we have another funny man, Mr. Mel Brooks.
Oh,
going to be
not just another funny man. He is a funny man.
Of course.
Mr. Jews.
How dare you? You're damn right. Oh, shit.
Spaceballs, Men in Tights, you know.
History.
You know.
I'm Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
There we go.
Greatness.
Then we have Joss Whedon.
Yoss.
The modern kick-ass. Yeah,
yeah.
Serenity.
He makes a lot of quality.
He's the big fanboy one.
Yes.
One other fanboy choice is J.J. Abrams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, if you want to say
Star Trek,
it's Abrams' world or Sweden's world right now.
Yeah, absolutely. He's created universes now. Star
Wayne's
Trek universe,
world.
Buffy.
Wayne's world.
And then we got Buster Keaton, classic.
Classic. Now, we had a tough debate because it was Chaplin or Keaton.
Yeah.
And we kind of figured Keaton stuck to more his genre.
Yeah,
Chaplin was a lot more political, and that's why we kind of left him off. It wasn't that we didn't
love
him. I
wanted
Chaplin, but
talking.
I also love Buster. But yeah,
Buster's
that's
funny
one of the greatest
shit.
Speeches in a
yep.
film from The Great Dictator. I'm just throwing that out there.
But
then we got
fucking
Toby
awesome.
Hooper.
Poltergeist. And Texas
that's
Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, thank you for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you mean, crazy son of a bitch, you.
Then we got Mr. Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, that's
yep.
Labyrinth. Thank
there
you.
He goes.
He's the
Pacific
Devil's Backbone, which just came out in Criterion.
Awesome.
Haunting film.
Oh, yeah.
And we
oh
have
my God.
And Labyrinth was named on the top
that's
film.
Right.
And it's based on a true story. He was haunted by the movie.
That's
kid.
Right.
And Guillermo is involved in literally 100 projects right
yes.
now.
That's right. As he should be.
Yes,
as he
I agree.
Should be.
I agree.
Then we have another funny...
Stop it.
Air Brothers, the Abrams Brothers, who gave us... Top Secret, Airplane, Naked
JJ
Gun.
JJ and...
yeah, the Top Secret, the Naked Gun stuff, all great.
It is so great. And finally, in our bracket for genre, we got Sam Raimi.
Oh, yeah.
Gave us the Evil Deads.
Abraham Brothers?
Abraham
Abrams.
Brothers, yeah.
Oh.
They,
Zucker?
It's Zucker's with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all the same.
It's
okay.
The two
okay.
brothers and the Zucker.
Yeah.
Some acted as producers, but the brothers were the directors.
Yes.
But yeah, Sam Raimi should be on there. He gave us...
Fuck yeah, Sam Raimi should be. And the better
Spider-Man.
So
that is our genre list. It's a tough list.
Phoned it in.
So, give it to Andrew. He's going to do our modern filmmakers, which are alive today and making movies.
Oh, we hope.
Yeah, we hope so.
And making
movies.
It
was a tough weekend, y'all. You don't know.
Some of these, I don't know. It's been a while. First off, we got Quentin Tarantino.
Man. Tarantino, man.
Best actor in my
holy shit. Wow.
Oh, his monologue from Sleep With Me.
Oh, yeah.
Top Gun.
We got Richard Donner.
Richard Donner, Goofy.
Oh,
Superman,
so awesome.
Too.
Is he alive still? I thought he's dead.
Yeah, no, he's alive.
Can someone check on that, please?
No, the other guy's dead. The guy that was Jerry Bruckheimer's partner is dead. Richard Simpson, or Don Simpson.
Michael
yeah.
Bay, in my
heart. Michael Bay should die, but that's another story. But go ahead. Donner's still alive.
Barry Levinson?
Yes. Baltimore's finest, bitches.
He did Men in Black. He did...
he did Rain Man.
Rain Man.
Hello. Big trouble.
P.C. Anderson?
Quality.
That's
quality.
That's one of the filmmakers that has not made a bad movie yet.
Yeah. We couldn't pick just one writer, so we went with Ivan and his son, Jason.
Yes. Even though their films are very different, we didn't want to separate and not have one or the other. They both have made quality films.
Jason was in Ghostbusters 2 as Blue Kid.
There we go. That's
true,
our connection point. Ghostbusters, thank you.
And you've just been writing.
And Ghostbusters, do we want to tease it now, later?
You can do it now.
Ghostbusters will be our second recasting.
Yep.
Even though they themselves are not going to make the movie because whatever bullshit.
Well, they might be in it as mentors.
Possibly.
But yeah,
we'll be recasting that in a near future
series.
Film.
Yes.
All right.
Next we have David Fincher.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Fincher.
The man who knows how to use darkness. Oh, so
yeah.
good.
So good.
Penis shot in Fight Club.
Yep.
He likes
the penis. He's
got
to go back to the penis. You guys, I don't know what it is, but Darren Aronofsky.
I like
another
him.
D
Black
director.
Swan. He I almost directed the recent Wolverine movie.
Went to Harvard.
And he's directed. He's directing the Noah's
Ark.
Smart
AFI
guy.
Institute grad.
Smart guy. First movie. Pie. No. Jews.
The Wrestler. Yeah. Yeah. The Wrestler. That's Jewish, right?
No.
Woody Allen.
Speaking of Jews.
Yeah,
Woody Allen's most prolific filmmaker ever. The guy
makes
is like
a film
80,
every week.
80 years old, and yeah, he makes a movie every year.
And Blue Jasmine, his most recent,
yeah.
Damn good.
Sounds
really
solid, yeah.
Spike Lee.
But modern?
Spike Lee.
Ooh.
Spike Lee, he's made some bad movies, but he's also
there
made
was
a lot
some
of
debate
movies.
About Spike.
But he's made, like, iconic and, like, real.
Do the Right Thing
movies.
Is one of his best movies
he's
ever
he's
made.
The better Spike? He's Spike Jones? No.
That
Spike Lee.
Spike was on the other Spike was in the battle, but Jones, does. I don't know if he has as many films
no,
as Spike
no.
Lee.
Then it brings us to
Brian's
favorite, Penny Marshall.
Yay! Big! In a League of Their Own!
Yes.
That's why. Big in a League of Their Own.
You know why? That's the only reason.
And Renaissance
Man. And Renaissance Man quality.
Quality films.
There wasn't the battle between which Penny. Yes. How dare you? Shakespeare's finest in that quality. We did have a debate over which Marshall, whether we should team him up.
Fred Armisen does do a good Penny Marshall.
But Penny's quality.
Yeah,
Penny. She's one of the most recognizable female directors ever, period. She's on the list.
Another recognizable female director, Catherine Bijoux.
Yep. She did Keanu Reeves.
Point
movie.
Blank.
Point,
oh, yeah.
Point Break.
Point Break.
What the hell's Point Blank?
She did a movie called
Gross
Dark
Point. Gross Point Blank.
No, she didn't do that.
She didn't do Gross Point
Blank. No, I said Point Break.
No, I fucked it up.
You're not checked.
Point Break. She did
Strange Days.
Scary. Strange Days. Oh.
Yep.
And one of the cooler hacking films, unlike Hackers.
She did the recent Bin Laden film, right?
Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty.
And of course she did
Hurt
Locker.
That was
Hurt Locker.
Bin Laden? But then she also
Shocker.
Did Teenage Widowmaker.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, well, not a bad movie.
I'm going to do that.
Next we got Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, now.
Spielberg?
Speaking of mentions.
Yeah, it's a tough one. He's made some quality films, but has he made enough quality films recently to make it to the end.
Not Lincoln.
Quality? Next we got James Cameron.
He makes more money than God,
yeah,
so we put him on there.
Say what you know about the guy. He's got good
he
story.
He signed
structure.
On to make Avatar 2 through 8, right?
He
whatever.
The next three simultaneously back to back to back.
Which probably sounds as bad as it really is.
We are
keeping Sam Worthington in business.
If
you're
going
to
go ahead and do three more Avatars, you might as well do three more Abysses, because I can use a few more.
I want to True Lies, too.
What's wrong with Abyss?
I love Abyss.
Oh, okay.
I want
True Lies.
I would rather make an Abyss sequel.
Yeah, where's True Lies 2?
I want to see an Abyss sequel.
What's wrong with True Lies?
We've been waiting for a sequel for 25 years.
Oh, that's
wrong
true.
With.
That's true. All
right.
We got David O. Russell.
Oh,
there we go.
And we talked about David's new film coming out in December.
Yep.
He's a heartbreaker.
David O. Russell.
Has he made a bad film yet?
No. Not that I know.
He did
not.
Three Kings, right?
Three Kings is quality.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a bad?
Three Kings, did he
do? And I don't like Mark Wahlberg.
I'm
not a Mark Wahlberg fan.
He did The Fighter.
Yeah.
He did do The Fighter.
Seven Nights Playbook.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. After David
Wes Anderson.
That boy is good.
And he's a Dallas guy.
Yeah, he's got ties to Dallas for sure.
Well, Bottle Rocket.
Yep.
His production design alone is
amazing. Which they just showed in Hillsboro, by the way.
On the side of the hotel.
On the side of the hotel.
If you ever come to Dallas,
thank you, Will.
There's actually a Bottle Rocket tour you can take.
Yes.
Our good buddy Don Merritt can take you on that tour.
If you want, you can break into the Wilson's house and shit
in
there.
Where they shot, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome house. Really cool house.
I think the third Wilson, Wilson Brothers still there.
Lost
Pearl
is down the street.
Oh, that's sad, the third one. Hey, Owen,
and,
don't do more coke. Go ahead.
Finally, in the modern bracket, we got Martin Scorsese.
Martin
Scorsese. The eyebrows. The eyebrows.
Scorsese. That guy. Taxi Driver.
That's
Goodfellas,
not modern,
Casino.
Though. Now, has he made that
modern.
Movie?
Yes. He
has
made
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf
of Wall Street, which is going to be our movie that is in our, on the radar. Fire.
Yep. That's a great hell of a modern list. So now
there you go.
Now we pass it on to Gotti for our last region, which is the foreign one. Because why do you want to do the foreign one?
Because I'm the foreign kid. Fuck
he's
y'all.
The most foreignest of us.
I am the most foreignest.
Even though he's born
and he enjoys foreigners.
I was not born in America.
On the 4th of July.
No, none of this is true. Who directed that film, by the way? How did he not make
Oliver
the list?
Stone.
Thank
Oliver
you. Stone. Why did he not make the list?
Same thing he said about Francis.
Because we just thought of him right now.
No. Oh, we didn't actually.
Should we have an addendum list?
No, we're not putting Oliver in there. Just because, where is my list over here?
Because you usually have 65 people. They have a fifth.
Yeah, the first one to start out.
Everyone gets one right.
An alternate.
Everyone gets one alternate.
Maybe.
The foreign one.
The foreigners. We start with Dario Argento, Mr. Italian Horror.
Yep.
He had Face a Italian shark home. Fight a zombie.
He did.
That's right.
And zombie. Yeah.
He puts hot women in his films, too, don't forget. Pedro
Almodovar.
Thank you. Which, he has a film at your Angelica right now that looks really funny.
Called I'm So Excited.
That's right.
It takes place in an airplane.
Yes. And Pedro's kind of the forefront of the Mexican Revolution when it comes to filmmakers.
He made Gael, Bernardo Garcia, and
Diego Luna stars. Stars. Luc Besson.
Luc
Besson.
The Fifth Element.
The Fifth Element.
God, I can still watch that film on fucking TNT.
Oh my God.
Dude, I give a shit.
I forgive him for Joan of Arc. I forgive him for Joan of Arc.
Wow, what a battle. Luc Besson versus Roman Polanski.
Woo!
Don't bring him to America.
Rosemary's Baby, The Pianist.
The Pianist.
Not The Pianist, it's...
No, you're right, The Pianist. The Pianist.
What was the one they did with Adrian Brody?
Yeah, that's just the Pianist. Pianist. He plays The Pianist.
Yes.
It is not The Piano, that's with little... What's her face?
That's a Pianist.
Documentary Pianist. Filmmaker Werner Herzog.
Woo! With The Act of Killing. Yeah. He's part of it. The Grizzly Man. Burden of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Even his, narrative were great. The last one he did with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Rescue Dawn was also based on documentary.
Yep. Murder.
Very intelligent filmmaker. British man Matthew Vaughn, the man who made Guy Ritchie famous.
There you go.
There you go. And he, I know you had issue with him because he produced more films than he's directed.
I like
but
that.
His directing has been badass. So
I like First Class and I like Stardust, which is underrated.
Underrated. We already brought him up. He is the older brother, Ridley Scott, to the now sadly deceased Tony Scott.
Ridley Scott directed Alien, the first Alien.
And Legend.
Right.
And Legend.
Oh, God, Tom Cruise's finest film.
That's a Goblin soundtrack.
And Tim Curry as the devil.
Is the
greatest villain of all time. Yep.
Or is it the greatest villain?
Oh, shit, Tim Curry again. We should just do a Tim Curry hour.
Next time.
I will do Tim Curry villains. Hour.
Facing Ridley Scott will be... Hi! Mizaki.
And who is Hayao Mizaki?
Hey-o.
He's the one of the greatest...
I watched that, but I see that.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Spirited Away. Yep. Princess Mononoke. Yep.
If you don't
Castle
know the name,
sky.
Look it up because he makes the prettiest films. And he is...
Tiki Celebrity Service.
Yeah.
And he's one of our early...
And he has a
film
coming out this year.
Yeah.
What's it called? Don't know, but it doesn't matter.
That's a weird name.
Hayao? Asshole. Australian Peter Jackson?
Yep.
New Zealander, not Australia.
There you go. Oops.
He's a Kiwi.
He is a Kiwi. He'd be very angry
Where's
if I called him Australian.
He would.
Ridley is from the UK.
Yeah.
UK.
What does UK stand for?
That's okay with me.
United Kingdom. Dick.
What are the kingdoms united?
Jean-Pierre Genou.
Genou.
Delicatessen and City of Lost Children.
And Amelie.
And Amelie.
Amelie.
Great films.
Quality director.
Was Ron Coleman in
City of Lost? Yeah.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
And The Strongman.
Yep.
Another Brit, Christopher Nolan.
Yep.
Who, minus the worst Batman ever, is still one of the greats. Another British man that was actually in town... A couple weeks back, and we talked about his film, The World's End, Edgar Wright.
Yep.
And another UK person, Danny Boyle!
It's a hard one. He's made a lot of good films.
He looks like the worm from that.
He could be a sleeper in the foreign category.
He is, because
just
he's
saying.
One of those
he's
filmmakers
so
that has made every film is a different genre.
Yes. Which most directors would not have the balls to do that.
The only one that I can think of right now is Kubrick. Kubrick
yep.
made a different one.
And
different
if Kubrick hadn't thing. Died, where would he have gone? That's the
AI.
Question.
And then Napoleon.
And it wouldn't have been as shitty as another member of our list version of AI, by the way.
Wow.
Thanks, Spielberg.
Bashing the Spielberg.
Then we have, since we had Pedro for old school Mexican, the new school Mexican, Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh, yeah.
Who has changed the quality. I like to just call him Mike, but y'all can give him his full title, but he's the bloodiest son of a bitch on the planet.
If you've ever seen movies like Ichi the Killer or Audition or Visitor Q, you're in for a treat.
And there wouldn't be a Quentin Tarantino if there wasn't a Mike. Let's just go ahead and say that. And then he will be battling Ang Lee.
Ooh. Who won Best Director last year at the Oscars
and for
The Pie.
Which was a visually stunning film, but not really a good
director's
film.
Yeah.
But let's not get into
that. And won Best Cinematography.
And is that our
for
list?
For some reason.
Even though it's not shot anywhere.
And that's our list, right?
It's not shot on
anything. Yeah, that is our full list, and we will have our brackets kind of online.
Yeah, we'll do our brackets online, and next week we will narrow it down to 32. Hello, and this is Multimedia Men Podcast 3. So in this one, we started out with our top three film scores, so it's only fitting that we're going to talk about music as our last portion of number three podcast. So here we're going to talk about upcoming tours, upcoming albums coming out, some cool music stuff, and I'm going to hand it over to Andrew Conway.
Hey, guys. So some of the new stuff coming out... One of the things I actually am really excited about is the new Polyphonic Spree CD.
You should all be happy about that because they are a Dallas band.
Damn right, Tim.
And you might recognize Polyphonic Spree. They dress up in
they kind of look like
the church.
They all have
gowns, and you might have heard their song "Follow the Sun." Reach
for night and day.
Yeah, night and day. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was on Scrubs. It was in the trailer for Murderball.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and most recently it was in
the score for Thumbsucker.
Dr. Seuss's The Lorax.
Yep.
I saw them once on a roof in Denton behind the Loophole, so they rock ass.
And the lead singer, Tim DeLauder, co-owns a music store in Dallas called Good Records.
Very, very awesome. And their new album is called Yes, It's True.
Yep.
And it's definitely going to have some great singles on it for sure, and I actually got the pleasure of working on their second single, Hold Yourself Up. We did a little music video here in town with them. Great upbeat song, something that is definitely going to be catchy and everyone's going to be singing along to for sure.
And our friend and world renowned artist Jonathan Kimbrell did the cover art for the new album, and it's really cool. It's got a butterfly, a face, and cool background.
All this fun stuff, yeah. And their first single is going to be You Don't Know Me, and they were actually up in New York a few weeks ago shooting the music video for that. And so it's very exciting stuff.
And just to prove how cool Polyphonic Spree, back last Halloween, they went to the UK and did a whole Rocky Horror set. It was actually really cool. You can find it online.
A lot of talent has come from the band as well to make other bands as well.
Correct. And it's a band. It's kind of like a Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
There's 30
it's
people
huge.
On stage.
It's huge.
And they, each guy has their own side project on top of
And
if you have never heard their cover of Nirvana's Lithium, you should hear
incredible.
It. It's incredible.
Keeping in the state of Texas, over down south of us, there's a band called Black Joe Lewis, which is...
part James Brown, part Lightning Hopkins, part...
What's that that guitarist that everyone loves right now? Gary? He's black. Anyways, I'll come up with that point later. Didn't mean to drop that, but Black Joe Lewis, one of the best scene, like... music scenes to come out of Austin a long time.
Yeah.
Quality.
If you like Lightning Hopkins, James Brown, Barcase, it's all that rolled into one soul, R&B.
If you had to give it one word,
funk.
Attitude.
Yeah. He's had three albums before this. His new one, the first song that he has online right now is called Skull Diggin', and it just sounds awesome. It's a full, like, sound band, horns and guitar. I mean... If you like good things, you're gonna like this.
Yeah. Actually, another album I'm actually excited about is the new Civil Wars album. They're coming out with their second album, which is self-titled, The Civil Wars. John Paul White and Joy Williams.
When they broke up.
They're releasing this album together.
Like
still.
A comeback kind of thing?
But it could technically bring them back.
Back together.
Which would be awesome, their quality.
I love their first album, and I still play it constantly, and I'm excited about this.
And she's hot.
It's one of the best parts of the Hunger Games soundtrack.
Yes, it is.
Of what soundtrack?
Hunger Games.
They're sort of known as the inventors of the gothic folk power ballad.
Oh, gothic folk.
Boom.
Boom. Bam.
Boom.
Speaking of weird people that usually do genres and redefine genres, the great Bob Dylan has an album.
Yeah.
And he has sucked balls the last few years, so it is very interesting to see whether Bob can actually
sing. His last
album
was actually decent, but I've seen him live recently, and
he fatigued.
His voice is more like of a worse Tom Waits, and he kind of more of talks.
That's
weird
to Tom Waits to say that, because Tom sounds great.
Yeah, he
right
does,
now.
But he... Tom or Bob Dylan sounds like this. He more talks it, and it just doesn't sound like him anymore.
It'll be interesting to see what they do, because.
But he does still put his Oscar front and center stage.
Damn
and stand
right.
With his
and I think he's back to being Jewish, by the way.
Yes, he is back to being
so
Jewish.
So I do support him for that. Speaking of old timers that haven't really done anything in a long time.
Oh, Bob Dylan has a UK tour.
Yes.
New UK tour. So for you listeners in the UK.
Edgar Wright, go see Bob Dylan. Sting also has an album coming out this year. For speaking of UK people, Sting lives in Salisbury and has a fucking castle. And he has sex in it 24/7. It's awesome.
Did he bring back the little dude who just sang on
No, he didn't. Which, that guy hasn't been seen
when
since.
When was Sting's last hit?
Exactly.
He needs one.
Exactly. But this one sounds like it's not a departure, like he did go kind of African, Middle Eastern music recently, and now this is kind of back to Sting being, you know, the sexy singer, which would be kind of cool.
Cool.
Some other bands that are out, if you're a band of the Scottish band Franz Ferdinand.
Oh yeah, I love them.
They have a new album, and if you've heard their music, like a lot of their stuff's on Sirius Radio right now, quality. They sound like they're just going to kick ass.
I love them. I saw them live, and then that song, Take Me Out, I love that.
I saw them when they first rolled through for the first U.S. tour, and it blew my mind.
It's a good
And
good
I have
band.
A hat from the drummer, but I don't remember his fucking name. But a quality band.
Vampire Weekend just came out with a new album.
Underrated band, by the way. And the lead singer is dating Sofia Coppola.
Yeah.
A little bit of film news.
And also the one of the members is the brother of the director of The East, Zal Batmanjali.
Oh, yeah.
He made a song on that movie called Doc Song, which is like phenomenal.
And Zal, great interview with Britt, and we all got to experience that, I do believe.
Definitely.
Yeah.
She's hot. Another British band, Arctic Monkeys. I know I'm a big fan. Their album sounds fucking awesome.
Is it out now?
It's called AM, but they have like sneak peeks. If you can go online, just Google it and steal it.
We got a few more. Kings of Leon. They're coming out with it.
Vomit.
Kings of Leon fans out there.
I was an old school Kings of Leon. I hope
the first few albums were great. Hopefully this comes back to what they used to be. Because
when they did Sex on Fire, I wanted to vomit more. Now, if you're a fan of the old school Kings of Leon, you know what good fucking Southern rock is.
Speaking of old school, we got Pearl Jam's come out with a new album.
Yay, Pearl Jam, finally.
I already got my tickets, bitches. I'm coming to Dallas.
It better be all ukulele songs.
October 14th. He's already done that album, sir, and this is the full band, and this is going to be amazing.
Should be good stuff.
Another, if y'all are fans of electronica, kind of that type of stuff, MGMT.
Comes
out with another album, and their first one was pretty fucking cool. And this one hasn't been announced as a date, but I'm a huge fan of this band anyway. The Black Keys.
Oh, yeah.
Those are just incredible. And if you've not seen them live, you've never seen two dudes rock the fuck out.
Yeah.
They headlined Edgefest 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were mind-bogglingly good.
You also have Edward Sharp coming out with the album.
Edward Sharp, quality.
And then also a singer from the New Pornographers, Nico Case, he's got a new album coming out as well.
Big band Arcade Fire, which was number one ranked band in the world,
has
a new album coming out. And that supposedly is going to be even more epic. Like, that sounds like a really cool album,
and
conceptually at least.
For those of you following Third Man Records online, the new Vault package is coming out soon, and it's going to be all Willie Nelson stuff, unreleased stuff.
Which Willie just celebrated 80, right?
Yeah.
80 years of being the baddest smoker in the world.
Yep. So if you like Willie, you like Jack White and Third Man Records, support them. Get the vault package.
Qualityness.
Yeah, and if you're into more metal, Nine Inch Nails, Lollapalooza headliners.
And it's been a while. It's quality.
Yes.
Talking about scores, Trent Reznor kind of has done a score or two.
He did a social network.
Which was great. One of the Oscars.
Yeah. So
it's getting closer to
Trent's back. Pretty badass. It's a great year for music, especially tours. I mean, it's going to be a fun rest
of the
year. A
lot of stuff going on. Great tours going on. The Eagles are coming through town. Who doesn't like the Eagles?
Henley lives here, doesn't he?
Yes. Henley was a North Texas grad.
Yeah.
And probably slept with everyone's mother. Just kidding. He's been a long time married. I don't want to throw him under the bus. Don's a great guy.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of The National, their album already came out, but their tour is coming through Dallas in October. Nice. And that is one of the best bands on the planet.
And I would consider this a concert, sort of. The Dallas Summer Musical, yeah.
Howard Shore, who is God.
Who composed the Lord of the Rings.
The Dallas Pops are going to bring to life the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I'm not sure how they're going to do the film portion.
Right.
But it'll be at Dallas Summer Music Hall. Music Hall at Fair Park, which is where they do Dallas Summer Musicals.
Yeah.
And, Lord of the Rings, November 7th and 8th.
Howard Shore is going to conduct the Dallas Pops while the movie's playing live.
Which is going to be a great experience.
It's always when the Dallas Orchestra, plays with a band or does any of these cool things like that.
Yes, I saw, I can't remember who it was, but somebody did the Looney Tunes one. I went to that.
They tried to do Pixar earlier this year, but they couldn't get the funding for it, but that would have been the one they did prior to this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that would have been awesome, too. Pixar was great stuff.
Any other music stuff? Good on that?
I think we've hit all the music.
All right. That's our music. And that's our podcast for this week, man. We had a good time. We all had a good time, yes?
Yeah.
He wants to talk more about The Dark Knight Rises and Man of Steel 2, but we'll get to that another time, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chomping at the bit here. So, thanks for listening to Multimedia Men. I'm Brian Kluger, joined by Gadi Elkon, Andrew Conway, and Adam Conway.
Hey.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.